Krampus stuff is just getting out of hand. It's just huge. So,
and it's weird how all of a sudden we just, I don't know what made them decide to make up the movie on it to make that, but they just kind of blew it.
Yeah,
everywhere, it man.
Kind of came out of the woodwork and open up a Xmas cider.
I'm telling you, man, I'm addicted to mead now. Dude.
It's good stuff.
Renfest gets you in that mood.
It does. We're going on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 60 of the Scary Dad Podcast.
60.
And it is December 4th. So that means tomorrow, Krampusnacht. And December 5th is a celebration of all things Krampus. We did a pretty long episode of Krampus last year. You can go revisit it. It was from about this same time last year.
Yeah.
So, not going to get much into the history and culture of Krampus himself. We'll just kind of highlight it. What we're talking about today is some somewhat bizarre, unusual Christmas traditions, holiday traditions around the world. So,
sit back, relax, enjoy the show.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, but normally, you know, so you have stockings hung by the chimney, everything's red and green, you have holly, you have mistletoe, you have Christmas carols, you have, you know, Christmas lights and
advent calendars, all
that kind of stuff. These are not those traditions we're speaking of. We're speaking about the kind of oddball ones.
Watching Bad Santa, that kind of thing.
Right. But first, we're going to talk about some old business. So without further ado, on this date in 771, Austrasian king Carloman I dies, leaving his brother Charlemagne king of the new complete Frankish kingdom. So that's basically Charlemagne united Christendom, as it were, and became the first major Christian king to bring about a unified kingdom and hold it.
Right.
So, and apparently his sword is magical and it still hangs up there. You can go see it.
Okay.
It's pretty neat. 1674. This is kind of funny. When you realize what that place has become and its history. 1674, Father Jacques Marquette founds a mission on the shores of Lake Michigan to minister to the Iniluit Indians. The mission would grow and later would become the city of Chicago.
Crazy, man. It's a transition.
Right, yeah. Let's see, on this date in 1872, the crewless Mary Celeste is found. It had been abandoned for like 8 days, but had very little damage. Mm-hmm. And they still don't know what happened to the crew.
Okay.
That's one of those famous ghost ships.
Right.
Only it wasn't a ghost ship. It was a real ship.
Abandoned.
It was a derelict. This is pretty damn scary. 1954, the first Burger King opens in Miami. Can't stand Burger King.
Prefer it to McDonald's, but
I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, but you know how sometimes, well, I never liked it. So like every now and then my dad would bring dinner home or mom would choose to swing through a drive-thru. Anytime it was ever Burger King, it was like a big disappointment. I never liked the way it tasted. And then years and years and years ago, I was riding with some friends and they wanted it, you know, they all chose Burger King. And I happened to be driving. They were, you know, different passengers in the car. And I didn't order anything. I just ordered for them. And whenever that window opened, it smelled like pure vomit. And ever since then, the idea of Burger King is just like, no thanks.
Disappointing.
It's I'll see a commercial sometimes, and they'll advertise for some awesome kind of breakfast sandwich. It'll be like, look at this cheesy, eggy awesomeness. I'm like, that looks good. And they're like, now at Burger King. I'm like, whoa, no thanks. This date in 1956, the Million Dollar Quartet. Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash got together at Sun Records.
I It's a crew.
Yeah. Can you imagine being a fly on the wall in that place?
No joke, man.
And in 1965, the Grateful Dead played their first show under this new name. They were previously known as the Warlocks.
Yay. Not a huge Dead fan.
I'm an anti-Dead.
Don't even eat Jerry Garcia.
Right. Poor Chris, dude. So, like, I guess Jerry Garcia died in, like, 94? 94, 95, something like that. And Chris is a big Deadhead. Just absolutely loved him. I not only could I never get into him, but they were also just kind of annoying. It's just like that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sounds like listening to, like, stoners play jazz or something.
Yeah.
But, and so we go, he picks me up. We're going to go cruising. So cruising down the road, he sparks up a joint. We're cruising along. Got music playing, and we're just driving down the road, and I'm like, what are we listening to? The freaking Muppets? And he got all upset. He's like, this is Grateful Dead, man. Jerry Garcia died today. I'm like, I don't care. This is horrible. This is absolutely terrible.
I was actually watching the South Park Hippie episode earlier. I don't know if you remember that episode, but the way Cartman was able to get rid of the hippies, get them out of town, is he got up to, they're at a music festival, and he got up to the stage, he started playing Slayer, and they were all like, what is this? I'm getting a headache.
That'll do it. I'll get rid of some hippies. Shortly after that, it wasn't too much longer after that, he had a house up in Dallas, and I went up to visit him. And we were all sitting around the room, and everybody was, you know, it was college years, whatever. Everybody sitting there smoking and chatting and stuff. And I had CD, my CD box, my CD case, and I had some record, and it was a mellow record. It was some singer-songwriter, like, psychedelic, mellow stuff. And I was like, oh, man, you got to hear this band. And I reached back and I grabbed the case, and I didn't even look at the CD that I put into the player. I closed it and pushed the button, and it's just like, because it was Far Beyond. It was The Great Southern Trendkill.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
By Pantera.
Yes.
And it just woke the hell up out of everybody. Everybody jumped out of their seats, and they're like, what the hell? I'm like, it scared me. I'm like, that's not what I meant to do. Sorry, man. Sorry, guys. didn't mean to harsh your buzz there, man. Notable births this date in 1944. Dennis Wilson, drummer for the Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. 1949, the dude himself, Jeff Bridges. Raise a glass to Jeff Bridges. He's been in so much cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, he has.
All right, notable deaths. The only one that was really apropos was 1993. We lost Frank Zappa.
Okay.
My dad loved Zappa, but always told me the story was he was a radio DJ back in the day, and so he would MC whenever bands would come and play. And Frank Zappa showed up for a show, and so my dad, you know, was representing the radio station. He's like, oh, hey, what can we do for you, whatever. And Zappa's like, I'm good. Every time I get to Texas, I go buy a case of Pearl beer. Remember Pearl?
Yeah.
So he bought a case of quarts of Pearl beer. And he said before the show, he was just slinging these drinks. And my dad said he saw him drink at least three of them. So he's...
It's a lot of beer.
It's a lot of beer. He's almost a gallon deep before he starts playing. He said he goes out and he plays like four or five songs. And then, like, in the middle of a song, he messed up a little bit. And then he just quit. He just, like, stopped playing the song. He, like, waved the band down. He's like, I gotta take a piss. Walked off stage, took a leak, came back, played the rest of the set.
Cheers of the crowd, I'm sure.
He said he was just, like amazing. But he was just like, I'm not gonna wait till set break here. I'm
I want to give you a quality show. I gotta go piss now. That's it.
And that is old business.
Alrighty, well. Let me get to my stack of stuff, and we'll talk some new business. One, Texas Frightmare Weekend has announced another guest, which I thought was pretty cool, but Matthew Lillard is going to be in the house from Scream and Scooby-Doo. Good old Shaggy's going to be at Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Nice.
My kids are pretty excited about that one. I was talking to you earlier. We're a little bit closer to an actual Jurassic Park happening. Recently, a perfectly preserved lion cub that died 50,000 years ago was unearthed in Siberia, Russia. and there are plans to go ahead and take it and harvest some DNA from it and see about cloning it. And you can see from these pictures, I mean, it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's 50,000 years old. It's pretty damn well preserved. But it's a prehistoric line that they found.
And they have no idea what it'll turn into once they...
Right. You don't know what size it's going to be, how many fangs it's going to have. But they're planning on taking it and seeing what they can do to bring it back to life. But that's a pretty crazy story.
That's another way to get rid of some hippies.
Yeah.
And release the lions.
And finally, found this an interesting story. There's another one of the should have been from Florida stories. This was actually in Oklahoma. Oklahoma Motors was covered. It's a man, by the way. This isn't a woman. So just preempt that. Oklahoma Motors was covered in Vaseline and wearing only a thong bikini when a patrolman pulled over his vehicle for speeding. According to a court filing, which notes that a porno mag was atop the passenger seat while the guy was driving around. So 54-year-old John Wayne Kellerman had a bikini thong covering his genitals and had Vaseline covering his hands, upper and lower body parts, and also observed an open jar of Vaseline that was nearly empty in the car seat. So he was riding around covering himself with Vaseline and reading porno magazines in Oklahoma.
He's one of those driverless, the self-driving cars.
Yeah. But that's all we got for new business today. One more thing. I forgot about, this. I don't know if you heard, but Sony is planning on a Spider-Man spinoff with Morbius, the living vampire.
Yeah, I saw that. I was kind of wondering if... I always remember reading Morbius, but it's kind of bizarre because he's such a minor character.
Yeah, well, comparatively. Morbius... Well, he had his own comic book series for a while.
Well, so yeah.
Morbius first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man 101 as a enemy of Spider-Man. But what's weird is, when he had his own series, as of recently, he's become more of a hero. So I'm curious to see how they're going to portray it. If it's a Spider-Man spinoff, you would think he's going to be an enemy of Spider-Man, but we'll see if they end up making him some type of anti-hero or something. But that will be coming from Sony. And of course, Venom is going to be coming out pretty soon, too. So, yeah, October 2018. So that's being filmed right now, which...
That looks good.
Already pretty neat, yeah.
It's got Tom Hardy in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. He could do a freaking, Pepto-Bismol commercial and bring a tear to your eye. He's just that good. Well, all right. So we're going to take a quick break.
Coming Wednesday night, the Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sees Santa Claus and an incredible snow monster in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Merry Christmas!
Wednesday at 8, 7 Central and Northern, here on CBS.
Mattel Electronics is offering a big Christmas bonus on its electronic games. You can get cash rebates by mail from $2 up to $12 using these coupons. When you buy qualifying electronic games and a Pepsi-Cola product, get details and coupons at the toy, electronic, and food stores featuring these Mattel Electronics and Pepsi-Cola displays. And score a cash Christmas bonus from Mattel Electronics.
And we're back.
Hello.
So as we mentioned at the top of the show, tomorrow is Krampusnacht. It's odd to us. I mean, Krampus is getting insanely popular these days. In the last 4 or 5 years, he's just gone from relatively obscure to really, really popular. He's been around for a really, really long time. He's ancient. In fact, stories of Krampus outdate some Santa Claus stories.
Yep.
And for the most part, they were friends of one another or counterparts. Read something.
The yin and yang type.
Right. Where Santa brings the toys to the good kids and Krampus
takes care of the bad ones.
So, but yeah, basically, you know, people dress up as Krampus. They drink a lot, and they walk around looking for things to hit with sticks. Which, you know, except for dressing up as Krampus, that sounds like something like a typical Saturday night for me. So, I can dig it. But now, the Krampus celebrations are getting bigger and bigger. And it's funny, actually, one of my managers at work, I guess it's German family or Austrian, he said that his when he was a kid, his grandmother used to say, like, you be good or Krampus is coming for you. And he was like, so yeah, I've been known about that guy. I've been scared of that guy since I was a little kid. So this is one that apparently has also been around for a long time. This is the first time I'm hearing of it, but the internet being what it is.
You can find out about everything.
There's this thing called Kajatia, and it's the poop log.
Yes, I did read about the poop log, which is just, it's an odd thing, because you force it to poop.
Yeah. basically, a hollowed log has a face drawn on one end, and it's left open on the other end, and it's filled with candies and fruits and nuts, and then they put it in the fireplace, and then a bunch of kids beat on it with sticks until it poops out the treats.
It poops out candy and things.
Yeah. And there's like even little poems like, you better poop good or I'm going to hit you harder. So I don't know if that's a tradition that we're going to bring into the Scary Dad house.
It'd be funny to have.
It would, actually. No, this is an ancient tradition.
To see if the kids would even be willing to eat poop candy. Well, we're on the subject of poop. I don't know if you saw, is it Kaganer? Is how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's the...
Kaganer from
Catalonia.
Where they also have the poop logs. Part of their nativity scenes has a person who sits in the middle of it. Sometimes they put him to the side, hide him away a little bit. Sometimes they put him, you know, but he's never near Mary and Joseph. But he's sitting there with his pants pulled down and he's pooping. And there's actually poop on the ground below him. I have no idea
why. Well, yeah. That's another one of those bizarre things. It's like, the Bible is not quite specific. So there are those folks who will point out that the wise men were not there at the nativity, that they didn't show up till later. Because if they were from Asia and they saw the star, the beacon, over the birth of Christ in that night sky, if they had left their homes, it would have taken them a couple months to get to Bethlehem.
Right.
So having the shepherds there is, we call it, quote-unquote, biblically accurate. So you'd have Mary and Joseph, the animals in the stable, and the shepherds, the wise men, perhaps not. But they did come bringing gifts, so they're part of the story. So nowhere does it say there was a pooping gnome. And yet, there's a pooping gnome in a lot of these nativities.
What this thing reminded me of is back when I worked offshore, I ended up on this rig, and it was my second day there, and we're in a safety meeting. And the two pusher goes, okay, and he's from Mississippi. We had another case of somebody taking a shit by the shakers. Apparently, for the past week, someone had been shitting different places on the rig to the point where the dude had shit in the coffee pot. And everywhere he would shit like behind different equipment and everything. He'd leave toilet paper on top of it, the pile. And they were calling him the Phantom Shitter, is what they were calling him. And they were desperate to catch this person. And luckily, I wasn't a suspect because I got on the rig like in the middle of everything going on. But while I was there, they never figured out who the hell was the Phantom Shitter. But this, it looks like, I could see this exactly what I envisioned, with somebody squatting behind equipment, trying to be quiet, and taking a crap till everybody passed by, and dropping his toilet paper and running off.
Oh, God.
He may have been from Catalonia. I don't know.
He may have been. Like, I'm just trying to bless this rig.
But he was a Phantom Shitter. And he was shitting everywhere.
So in Asia...
Yeah, I think you're about to talk about the one I just turned to.
Yeah. So you watch The Christmas Story, and you know that the Asian restaurant is the one restaurant they can go to on Christmas Day.
And they got the duck.
And get a meal... Because Asians
don't celebrate Christmas.
They don't celebrate Christmas. Well, apparently they do now. Because
it's a pop culture thing more than anything.
But since KFC opened up in Japan, they told everybody that Americans eat fried chicken on Christmas, and so now there's lines. Apparently it's standing room only. You cannot get a table at a KFC in Japan.
They have to reserve buckets months in advance. They have to set up reservations. Did you hear about the guy that recently won a lifetime supply of KFC through Twitter?
So I heard about the guy who did the nuggets from Wendy's.
Okay, this dude was the one that noticed KFC's Twitter account. They followed six guys named Herb and five Spice Girls. And he brought up the fact that they've got their 11 herbs and spices. And he was the one that saw it and the first one to call him out on it. And he won a lifetime supply of KFC.
That is awesome.
It is cool as hell, man.
Read this thing. These Twitter wars between fast food joints are getting insane. But like the girl who was Wendy's. Wendy's had like this social media person that was just ruthless.
Yeah, I heard about it.
And she quit because she's like, the stress of being this cool all the time was just getting to me. Okay, so you heard of the German Christmas pickle?
Yes, I have. There's some actually pretty cool ornaments that they come up with for it.
Did you know that the Germans are not aware of the German Christmas pickle?
No, I did not.
So, apparently... Okay, so there's... You can get all these blown glass ornaments. And apparently, there's this glass pickle that was sold as a quote-unquote German tradition. The thing was, when people would ask people in Germany, like, oh, hey,
I got a pickle like yours.
Pickle? And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
But you hide it in the tree.
Apparently, it's a tradition here based on a German tradition that is not actually a German tradition. But it's still there. Like, it still keeps on keeping on. To where now even the Germans have a Christmas pickle.
Okay, have you heard of the Straw Devils of Bavaria?
No.
Okay.
The goats or the...
No, the Straw Devils. Apparently dating back to pagan times, every year around Christmas, a group of Bavarians dress up as Straw Devils and run through the city, scaring the inhabitants. And these are some of the Straw Devil costumes that they scare looking costumes, dude. See a group of those giant tumbleweeds running through the city, screaming at people trying to scare them. Yeah,
I'd be trying to set it on fire.
Like, kill them with fire.
Shooting arrows at them and stuff. Alright, let's see what I got here. See, listeners, next time you're questioning some kind of tradition, like why do we eat turkey, just go with it. just go with
Don't
it.
Don't argue it. Just say, yeah, okay, cool.
Okay, this is certainly a modern one, but the TV Yule log. So it's a tradition to burn, obviously, a fire in your fireplace.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe the Yule log is supposed to be either part of your tree from the year before, or it's supposed to have some special, it's supposed to be specially chosen as the burning log that's supposed to burn for the evening. Well, a lot of people don't have fireplaces, so WPIX in New York plays 24-hour loop every Christmas since 1966.
Jesus.
For 2 days, 24, it's like the 99.1 here in their Christmas carols.
With this cheap advertising space on that.
Yeah. It's like, we now return you to your regularly scheduled program. Okay. What's a witch's favorite thing?
Kids.
Not to eat.
Brooms.
Right.
It's a mode of transportation.
So in Norway, they want to keep the witches away at Christmas time, so they take all of their brooms and they hide them. They hide them away in closets to make sure the witches don't come. But just in case there's a witch sneaking around looking for a broom, they also stand outside on the front porch and shoot off shotguns. That's another one I can get behind.
Just play jazz music while all this is going on, too.
I probably mentioned it on one of my other, on one of our other shows, closer back to like 4th of July. I'm on a neighborhood Facebook group. And you know how, like, it's the way something's presented. So like, if I walked up to you and I'm like, hey, man, you know, You've been parking your car kind of close to my mailbox, and it would be really cool if you didn't park your car so close to my mailbox. And you're like, okay, well, let me see if I can do something else. And I say, well, you better or else. Like, where does your goodwill go?
You get defensive immediately.
Immediately get defensive. So we had some neighbor pop up in our Facebook group that was like, like, I just want to remind everybody that the fireworks, first of all, it's against the city ordinance, and it scares the kids and dogs, and we won't hesitate to call the police if we see anybody or know anybody that's popping fireworks. And I turned to my wife and I was like, babe, can I go drive by and dump this box of black cats on their front yard? She's like, you don't even know where they live. I was like, I probably get close enough. No. I'm like, damn it.
But when I was young, I remember before my dad died, so I was...
But imagine if it was Christmas tradition and that was just what you did was pop, blow off your shotgun.
Right.
So, don't pop your shotgun. Be like, if the witches come here, I'm coming to kick your ass.
The witches go to your house. That's it. I remember as a kid, we were popping fireworks in the backyard one day, and we had a neighbor behind our house. It was just one of these old bitter old men that he was an asshole. He was racist. He called us all kinds of stuff. He'd holler at all the kids. And we were popping fireworks, and he came over the fence, started screaming at us, cursing us out and stuff. So I ran in the house crying, told my dad what was happening. Well, he took me to the store and proceeded to spend, and this was back in 82, spent a couple $100 on fireworks. And went back and just, he was drunk. And he just had us throwing penny rockets at the guy's house, daring the man to come outside and complain about it so he could whip his ass.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing I've ever been through. It was one of those fun childhood memories of my dad drunk. My dad was normally a happy drunk. He didn't try to start anything with people. But that just, they cursed out his son. And he was not going to tolerate that at all.
Exactly.
And it's fireworks. People pop fireworks.
All the time. That's the tradition. I mean, I really think we should be able to pop fireworks for just about every celebration.
Right.
St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, freaking, we do it on 4th of July, Veterans Day. I mean, hey, like, that's what we talked about before, too. With, like, everybody's getting so, like, up the dog's ass. Like, it scares my dog. It's like, give your dog some Benadryl and shut the hell up.
People freak out about dogs a lot now.
I know.
Dogs, you know, can handle being outside for, you know, extended periods of time. They're animals.
Did I mention it on the last show? I don't know. I might have, but it's worth saying again. So our neighbor's got a dog. And the lady and the little, you know, the lady, the woman and the little girl are real happy. And the guy's like, man, he's like, I just did not want a dog in the house. He's like, because nobody ever cleans up after it, you know. It's like, you know how it is. You're just stuck with all the mess. And he's like, I would have gone and I would have built this thing like a two-story dog house and put a AC on it and let that bitch run 24/7 just to have a dog in the house. And everybody's right. Like, no, you can't do that. It's cruel. So I was like, man, it's like, I feel kind of the same way. Like, not fully, but I feel like, so I told this, you know, I mentioned it to my wife, and she's like, dogs are pack animals. They need to be with their pack, not ostracized out in the yard. I'm like, they're also woodland creatures that are supposed to run free and, like, chase down deer.
Yeah, they hunt their food.
If we want to get down to, like, what they're supposed to be, they're not supposed to be, like, little inside lap dogs. Like,
yeah, they haven't evolved to the point to where they can't fend for themselves right. anymore. You know?
Right. And she was like, oh, you're just being a grump. I'm like, whatever, dude.
No, I will say,
I'm not advocating cruelty or anything like that.
I'm not advocating chaining a dog up to a tree where it only has a circle to go into and it constantly wraps it up to where it shortens it. But a dog living in a nice backyard with a patio to sleep under, that's not suffering.
They're always trying to get out anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Rant over. Get me in trouble.
Okay. What do skating and Venezuela have in common for Christmas?
That's how you dress to go to church.
That's right. Occasionally, kids will even tie ropes to one of their toes and let it dangle out the window as they go to sleep the night before, just getting ready for skate day. And they all skate to church the next morning. Could you imagine an entire city of people on roller skates?
That'd be pretty funny.
That'd be hilarious, dude. It'd be like a Tim Burton movie.
I'm going to say, this is in Venezuela, not Spain. I'd be like, you can combine that with the running of the bulls. That would be awesome.
That would be hilarious.
Now, this is the last one I've got on my list. Maybe you have some more. But this is by far the strangest. So more than KFC, more than hiding the brooms, more than shotguns and pickles. In Estonia, it's traditional for the family to go to the sauna together.
Like a Turkish bath type sauna?
It doesn't say much else. Well, I have been accused of, like, I will sometimes conflate a hot tub and a sauna when we go to a, like when we go to a resort or something. And I'm planning on getting into the hot tub, and I will, you know, after many adult beverages, tell my wife, like, oh, I'm going to go hit the sauna. Because, hey, it's hot and it's wet and it's, you know, they're right next to each other.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, the sauna? Why do you want to go in there and sweat? I'm like, no, the hot tub. The hot tub is just a place where you go strip down and sweat. Now imagine Thanksgiving, all the people in your family, and having a tradition that that's what you do.
As a child, it doesn't sound like fun.
I don't want to go to grandma's sauna. Shut up, son. That's what we do.
It smells like balls. Pour some more water
on the Europeans rock. Like G-strings a lot more than Americans do. Or Speedos.
I got one for you. Every year, 2 weeks before Christmas, children in the former Yugoslavian republics sneak up on their mother and tie her feet to a chair. They then dance around singing, Mother's Day, Mother's Day, what will you pay to get away? At which point she has to give them their presents. A week later, they do the same thing to the dads. Imagine if you had some children of the corn type, sadistic kids.
Right.
They could turn really bad really quick. These aren't the presents we asked for.
Right. So like, here's you're your bike. I wanted a blue chair. One.
Let's see what else we got. Okay, in Ukraine, Christmas trees have an extra decoration on them. Legend has it that a mother was so poor she couldn't afford decorations for her tree. When she woke up on Christmas morning, she found that spiders had decorated for her. For this reason, every Christmas, Ukrainians add spider webs to their trees. Another interesting one I saw on the subject of trees in India. There's no Christmas trees. There's no firs anywhere. So they decorate banana and coconut trees. Mm-hmm. That's what they put in the house, and they decorate the banana trees. There's a banana tree. It's just an island. Okay, where's this?
You can find some spiders in a banana tree, too.
There's one and a saw. There's the brooms. I'm trying to remember what country it's in. I don't know what it is. There we go. The Slovakia. Wasn't that in No, I'm thinking of something else. In Slovakia, there's a curious tradition where the patriarch of the family fills his spoon with laksa, which is pudding, and flings it at the ceiling. The more he can get to stick up there, the better the harvest will be for the next year. You imagine getting drunk. Trying to get as much pudding as possible to stick up the tiles. Because I'm sure that's how it started. Somebody was drunk and just flinging pudding under the
table. Like, we're going to take you to jail. Like, no. That's how we make sure the harvest is good.
One more spoon.
Again, these traditions. It's... It's like kissing under the mistletoe. That's can be considered odd. It's traditional. Yes, as I say these words, you can Google it real fast, and you can tell me why particularly a mistletoe and what the myth or legend behind it is. But looking at it on the surface, hey man, if I want to kiss my girlfriend or my favored or whatever, what difference does it make if there's a
A poisonous
plant sprig hung from the ceiling, right? But it's kind of a, I mean, it's we don't think of it as really, you know, unusual. It's kind of bizarre. Flinging pudding on the ceiling.
It's just it's psychopathic behavior.
It's just like, I'm just like glancing up your ceiling being like,
it's two steps away of the Catalonians putting poop on the, smearing the poop from the log on the walls.
Right. You're like, why are you doing that?
It's good
like,
luck.
It's Christmas.
Everybody does it. If we don't do it, we won't have good luck. Monkeys do that.
Oh, man. So what are your some of your oddball Christmas traditions? What's that thing that you do? Like, with...
Nothing really odd. We have a gumbo every Christmas Eve. It used to be tradition when I was young where Christmas Day, all the older cousins would get real drunk and challenge all the younger cousins to basketball games, which was hilarious, too. Because you'd end up on the basketball court, which was the driveway with a basketball goal on the roof. And you'd have a cousin with a crown and seven in one hand, cowboy boots, press shirt, trying to play basketball against everybody else. It was funny as hell, man. That used to happen every Christmas.
See, we don't have any. We don't really have anything odd.
We got traditions, but nothing really odd.
Yeah. So, like, you know, in my family growing up, it was. I don't want to say it was weird, but, like, so my dad's side of the family, they opened Christmas presents on Christmas Day. Like, that was it. Like, Christmas Eve was Christmas Eve, and you drank and you. Ate and everybody made merry, but presents were for Christmas morning.
Right.
My mom's side, you opened Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, and then Santa Claus came, and then you had your presents in the morning. Those presents. And so, like, growing up, just depending on which family we happened to be with, was one or the other. And then growing up and hearing that every, like, because we were at my grandmother's, my dad's mom's place more often on Christmas than not. Because she was a lot closer. Growing up and finding out that most people did the Christmas Eve thing was like, oh, we don't do that, or whatever.
We never opened on Christmas Eve. Nothing. Everything was Christmas Day.
Really?
With my kids, what I did, because my in-laws kind of pushed this, we'd allow them to open one gift on Christmas Eve, and that was it. And I got to choose the gifts that they opened. They were not just one, but everything else.
You get to open Christmas the socks. Day.
Yeah, pretty much is what it was. I would usually give them something that they'd like to play with, but the major gifts, of course, had to wait. But yeah, we always did Christmas Day.
But, yeah, I mean, like, you don't eat any strange food, or...
So we always did gumbo on Christmas Eve. That's a big thing in Louisiana.
See, even that, to me, is not really strange. That's... Right.
This is traditional food.
That's traditional. That's comfort food. That's, you know, like, even if, like, instead of it might be a little strange, but if you add it to, a, you know, like, you have turkey.
We put it in Super Soakers, the gumbo juice.
Yeah, and spray it at the wall.
Yeah, we spray it at the wall trying to write messages to each other.
See, now we're talking. We need to come up with some traditions.
And just put them out there on Reddit and just see if they can start
rumors. It's funny because it was a complete parody of American Life when it came out, but now Christmas Vacation is one of the...
I picked this up this weekend.
Beautiful.
It actually plays the clip. Press the button and plays the clip from when the cat was in the...
Christmas Vacation is like, you know, all he's trying to do is make like the perfect Christmas for his family. And he's like blows up everything with the lights and everything. It's like... I remember being a kid being like, I want to do that when I grow up. Yeah. I take my vacation at Christmas time. Like, I love Halloween. I have a horror movie blog, or I have a horror blog, podcast, website, conventions, whatever. I love it. And I also like, on my vacation during Christmas, to watch horror movies while I'm off and everybody else is at work. But I love the Christmas everything. And you know what I think? I used to work in retail, and that kills a lot of people's spirits. For me, it was like, man, I had to work Christmas Eve.
I used to work Walmart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It'll break you down. But then when you get free from retail and you're actually working a regular schedule and you can take your vacation and have some days off, mm-hmm. I really try to enjoy it and be like, well, there's too many people that are grouchy about it. It's like, oh, blah, humbug, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, you can always flip the station, right?
Yeah.
You know? It does bother me whenever you see Christmas stuff pushing Halloween stuff out a month before Halloween.
Well, I was in
like in middle October.
I went to Willowbrook Mall Sunday, and Santa Claus is there. There's no line. He's sitting there, you know, waiting for kids to come take pictures. I'm like, can we eat some turkey first?
Right.
Before you start this? Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're already pushing. We haven't gotten through Thanksgiving yet. You know, Halloween's not even cold. And we already got Christmas everything.
God, dude, Halloween. No, this show's coming out a couple weeks after we record it.
Right.
But, I think I'm up to 13 totes loaded and packed up in the attic. I've still got Halloween shit out. Hey, like, it's just been multiplying. My wife is like, dude, we have to get an outbuilding. Like, we have to set up, like, we have to get
a little shed.
Well, right. Well, see, she's of the opinion, and I agree with her to a point, but in current market or whatever. But her thought process is, as the kids get bigger and we continue to acquire more stuff, we're going to need a bigger house. And I agree on one hand, I disagree on another. I agree that, yeah, eventually, not that we'll outgrow the house, but just,
You accumulate stuff.
Yeah, you got stuff. So I'm more of a getting rid of stuff sort of guy, but whatever. But then I'm like, I'm still going to put out an outbuilding. She's like, but, you know, if we have a two-story house with an attic, I was like, dude, if you think I'm bitching this much about carrying it up one flight of stairs into the attic, what do you think I'm going to do whenever I have to carry it up the stairs and then upstairs into the attic? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. We're getting an outbuilding. Like, these old bones are just...
They don't work the way they used to.
Like, I don't mind getting it down, and I don't mind putting it back up. It's really not the problem. The problem is that she's like, this stuff is in the way and we really need to get ready for the next phase of things. Pick it up now. And I'm like, but I'm hungover and I'm tired. I got candy heartburn. No good. So what are you going to do this Christmas?
Not sure yet. I'd like to go back home. I haven't been back home for Christmas in a few years, so I'd like to go visit my sisters and everything, but I don't know. It all depends on what the kids are going to be doing, so kind of leave it up to them.
We're still on the fence about doing this or doing that or doing something else. I'd really just as soon sit around and watch Christmas Story.
Did you see they're doing a live production of Christmas Story? I've been seeing advertisements for it on Fox.
People are all pretty old. I don't think the dad's around.
It's going to be all new actors.
I know what you mean.
It's a remake of Christmas Story done live. Kind of like it reminds me of Scrooge, where he's doing the live Christmas Carol and everything, yeah. Live production of a Christmas Carol. But I'm like, really, you can't come up with something else. Why not just play the original movie? It'll be better. I promise you.
The original movie is untouchable. Yeah. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, but still, it just aggravates me.
They're losing a lot of their folks to sexual harassment.
Man, that is just getting... It hit DC Comics. It's hitting everything right now. Man.
It is. And I am of two opinions on this. And I'm not going to go long on it. But on the one hand, freaking good. We've been talking about Corey Feldman for a year. Poor dude's trembling talking about this stuff, and everybody laughs their ass off and puts him in Lost Boys 3. You know, he's a laughing stock. You've got all these like, when I was telling my wife, it's like certain people like Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K., even Harvey Weinstein. You know, like, I've known about this. Like, it's not open. Like, I read that Louis C.K. was a...
Well, it's been just...
Kevin Spacey, I've known, like, I read a thing a long time ago that was talking about how he'd, like, walk around hitting on guys at parties and stuff.
Right.
And it's not the fact that he's gay hitting on people, but just that he was lascivious and like...
He was a predator.
Right. Basically, just, he was creepy. It wasn't that he was gay and hitting on people. It was the fact that he was creepy.
Right.
And using his stature to try to, like, land him some ass. These were like very open secrets. There was nothing really.
Well, it all goes back to the mystique of the Hollywood casting couch,
right?
You know, it's
And so, yeah, if they're guilty, shun them, throw the book at them. When I said two opinions, I actually have three. The second one is, this will turn into a Salem witch trial real fast.
Let's not ronda the lynch mobs too quickly with every single accusation.
Everybody's going to turn around and be like, she's a witch, he's a witch, he's a witch, she's a witch. Burner, 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 burner. And the third opinion on that is, because the second one is, allegedly does not mean did,
right,
and does not mean guilty. And saying those words does not mean I defend any kind of that behavior. But and we're recording this, but it's probably all blown over. It's happened. What has happened has happened by the time the show comes out. But there is a Senate race in Alabama.
Yeah.
And he's being accused. And he said, I didn't do it. But he's being accused, but he said, I didn't do it. Talk show host Sean Hannity said the very simple statement, he's innocent until proven guilty, we'll keep monitoring the situation, but I can't take a stance on this. Like, it's a he said, she said. He lost sponsors.
Oh, he's not getting any more money from the RNC?
Sean Hannity.
Oh, Sean Hannity. Okay.
Sean Hannity has lost sponsors. They're calling for boycotts. They're calling for his head for defending...
the guy's right to be innocent until proven guilty.
And the guy, as yet, as we're recording the show, as yet, still maintains his innocence. And doesn't, that I know of, have anything that's like a smoking gun against him. It's just people saying words, and he's like, no. That's not how we work in this country, right? So, like I said, my third opinion is on this, that I'm scared because it's all about the pedophile rings that were floating around. This wasn't really, really, really about dudes being inappropriate at parties and being assholes. This was about picking up your phone, calling your dealer, and having them drop off some 12-year-olds to your room.
Yeah.
That's all getting kind of obfuscated by all of this other stuff that, while it is vile, is pretty well known that it happens. But all this other, like, underground, nasty, horrible, horrible, basically child slave rings is all getting kind of, like, the light moved.
Right.
And the light got moved by people who are really, really good at lighting things. So...
You see, what I'm worried about happening with this whole thing is, which, and I can get online, I can find a million instances of this kind of stuff happening, but some people have a mental illness, especially with this age of social media and getting your 10 minutes of fame, of jumping on the bandwagon, making up shit, just so that they can get picked up and have a blurb on the news about them. There's no reason to believe that the same shit won't happen with this movement.
Right.
You know, and it's a sad fact of life, and that's why you can't jump to conclusions too fast.
So that's why I'm.
Well, with this guy in Alabama, he kind of got caught in a lie trying to defend himself too quickly.
See, I haven't heard about that.
The thing that I found is that this latest one who's being represented by the bitch Gloria Allred or whatever her name is, she has it where the guy signed her yearbook at the restaurant they were at. And people they lived in a small town, waitresses remember him going there all the time. You know, it was one of the local eateries for a lot of folks. And what he did is to defend himself, he said, I don't even remember that restaurant. I don't even know where the restaurant is. I was like, dude, you just fucked up, man.
I hadn't even heard
totally
that.
Totally fucked up.
I don't even follow politics as a rule. I was reading something earlier that was saying that, like, you know, I think it was Reason magazine or whatever. It was like, this is what we know so far, is this, this, and this. And this is what has happened in the last, you know, 24 hours. And I'm just like, Jesus. Like, and if it comes out that all of that, you know, it's like, well, then, yeah, you can have an opinion. But how do you have an opinion before any facts come out?
Right. And the thing about it is, with his defense, doing that to defend himself, Patrice O'Neill talked about Mike Tyson one time about this, and he said he does not believe Mike Tyson raped that girl, because in an interview, what's her name? What's that? Nancy Grace asked him, "Did you rape whatever the girl's name
Robin
was?"
Robin Givens.
No, that was another chick he got. He went to jail for this one. He said, "Nah, I wish I would have raped a bitch. I wish I would have raped a mama too." If you're defending yourself, if you did it, you don't say that.
Right.
You say, "No, I didn't." He's innocent. You know, if this guy would have said, "Oh yeah, I used to eat at that restaurant all the time. I remember that girl. I never did anything with her." Yeah, but don't start trying to defend yourself so much that you're tripping over your lies.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that just...
There's too much crap. And we got way off the weeds. This is not a Christmas tradition.
But it's very topical right now, because it is just... You can't get away from it, man. Nah. Everybody's being accused of something in all walks of life, dude. There's people being fired, like I said, from DC Comics. All over the entertainment industry. It just... the Guardian newspaper in the UK, just... People getting accused. I was actually thinking today, I had filed sexual harassment when I worked on the cruise ship against somebody. I ought to go ahead and do a Me Too hashtag on Twitter and say, "Hey, Me Too."
Dude, Me Too. I've been hit on by dudes.
His name was Jeff. I had to file charges against him.
This will get us back to that weird, into the weird. So when I started working for, I worked for an ad agency. I'm not going to say the name of the brands or whatever that we repped, but we used to do events in bars and clubs, and we brought a lot of money and put a lot of money into these events, and I was manager in charge of dealing with the different managements of these clubs. So I would find myself in a lot of these different places, not really during work time, but during, you know, bars were open at night, I'd be in there in the daytime talking business. But I had to scout this place, and I went in there, and it was a gay bar, and whatever, no big deal. But I was talking to these two dudes. They were obviously together, and they were just chatting, and I was talking with them. They're like, "Oh, what's going on?" And I was telling them kind of like what we were planning, what we were setting up. And there's this dude kind of hovering in the corner, and he had like this blousy shirt on. He's like long hair and a like scruggly beard, not a long beard, but you know, like a shadow beard. And he's kind of hovering, and they're like, "Dude, you need to watch out for that guy. He's a weirdo." And I could tell. And anyway, I went to go kind of check my power and where I could plug stuff in. And this dude walks up, and he's like, "You're straight, aren't you?" I was like, "I am." He's like, "You want to take a walk on the wild side?" And no lie, this dude unhinged his jaw like a snake, and it dropped open. Like... And I just looked at this dude just in pure shock, and I was like, "I'm good, man, thanks." And I just turned around and walked off and went back to the office, and I was like, "I think we're good on power. I gotta go." Like, fast forward like 25 years, and I'm like, hashtag me too.
God. What was funny is, you know, when I worked on the cruise ship, the 50% guys, 50% girls, half of the guys were gay, which was excellent odds for us straight guys with the girls on the boat. But it led to some really weird shit going on in the cruise ship.
Of course.
I remember this guy, Randall, that was one of the waiters. He was from Cincinnati. And we were stuck in Cincinnati for 2 weeks one time. It was the best 2 weeks of that year. It was just insane, the stuff we did. Well, it's his town. So he tells us, "Hey, you guys go to Cooter's. It's an awesome place. I'll meet you guys there later." So me and a few of the guys get off early. We go to Cooter's. And it's early. It's not really packed yet or anything. So we get there. We get some drinks. We go shoot pool. Play starts getting a little crowded and everything. So I say, "Hey, let's go walk around the club and see what's going on." So we walk around the club and, you know.
Start noticing there's no girls there.
No, we start noticing that all those girls are dancing with girls and all those guys are dancing with guys. But there's no girls dancing with guys. And I finally look at one of the guys and said, "Dude, we're in a gay club. Randall's standing still, fucking gay club." So next thing you know, guys start zeroing in on us, and it's like, okay, it's time to go back to the boat. So we get to the boat. Randall's about to leave to go meet us, and he's cracking up laughing. I said, "You bastard, you sent us to a gay club." He said, "Well, come back with us. So we go back, and he tells me, he goes, "Look, if anybody asks, tell them that I'm your boyfriend. If you say you're straight, it's like giving catnip to a cat. They will not leave you alone the entire night." And it's true. That's why that guy asked you that straight off the bat, because that it's like a quest.
Well, and to be fair, on the flip side of that, I'll tell you the God's honest truth, I've never been hit on by more girls at any time in my life when I was running events at some of these clubs, the gay clubs, which we didn't just work in gay clubs. We worked in lots of different types of clubs. But whenever we were running events in the gay clubs, the girls would go, the straight girls would go with their gay friends to the gay clubs because they could dance and not be hit on.
Right.
And not get all schmoozed on by drunk idiots. So I'd be there, you know, running my team, you know, doing our thing. And, you know, girls would walk up and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what are you doing here? Because I do not have the gay vibe at all. Like, I'm just kind of like, can't dance, can't dress. But, like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, you know, running events, whatever. And they thought it was cool that I was cool with being straight and being in the gay clubs.
Right.
You know, I got numbers, I got hit on, you know, like, it was cool for me. Like, but you got to have your head in the right spot.
Well, you had the odds with you.
You know, of course you had the odds. But no, I mean, it was like, it was great. I never wanted to besmirch any of that, but it was just like, hashtag me too. I've been there. I've been hit on by women and dudes and women who kind of look like dudes.
You know, the dude had to file charges on. I caught him stealing my underwear out of the dryer.
And with that, that has
it
been...
It was me too.
That has been episode 60 of the Scary Dad Podcast.
Later, folks. Somebody.